You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 61.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Wow, thank you for all those people who listened last week to last week's episode with Hillary Mason of Cloudera Labs on the art and science of machine learning and data. I got a lot of new people listening to the show last week, and now I'm really going to throw you all for a loop because you're going to get something very different today. But I kind of want all of you to stay so that you can get out of your previous local maximum. So last week I ventured out from this here, the local maximum home base here in Brooklyn, and I went out to Long Island, New York, still in New York, and I spoke to Michael Braunspiegel. Now, Michael is the editor of the Facebook group Capitalism. You might guess from that name that it's a political group, and sometimes it's a controversial group. And he says that Facebook has been shadow banning his group and destroyed the business that he had around it. Now, you're not going to get a sob story here today. Michael is, and he points this out, he's doing quite well for himself. But it kind of makes me wonder, you know, and it should make you wonder, what is going on here? These platforms have so much influence over what we see every day and how we form our view of the world. And even if Michael's page isn't your cup of tea, you kind of have to ask yourself, do I really want to outsource my filtering and information to either the algorithms or specific decisions made by folks at Facebook HQ or any other tech company for that matter? Now, if you want to know where you should go for lunch, I would say yes, yes, outsource your opinion to Foursquare, and I'll have another recommender system related to podcasts to show you soon enough. But at least these recommender systems are transparent, and most importantly, they're non-monopolistic. So in the case of Facebook, I think that we really have to be careful. This here is a really great example of a story that is kind of being discussed nationally, but within the internet companies, within the tech world, within the software and social networking companies' employees, nobody cares about Michael's story, but he cares a lot, and he's greatly affected by what we do. So isn't that interesting? And this is right down to him mentioning Bitly's tools. Like, I thought there was going to be no overlap between last week's episode and this week's episode. Last week when I spoke to Hillary Mason, I remember when she used to work at Bitly and give talks about their tools. Michael was one of those people who were using those tools. Again, it seems like we don't care about him. He cares about us. Very interesting. So I urge you to listen to his full story. Yes, it was on Fox News, as we say, but Fox News gave him all of 5 seconds of screen time to tell his story. So this is in depth. This is the whole shebang. Michael Braunspiegel, again, is the owner of the Capitalism Facebook page, and you can find his stuff on capitalismisfreedom.org. Michael Braunspiegel, welcome to the show. Welcome to The Local Maximum.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thanks for inviting me in. I always like to do the hustle to get the guest in person and live so I could be able to hear your story.
That's terrific.
All right, so you ran the Facebook Capitalism page for how long did you run it for?
I still run it, even though it doesn't feel that way
anymore. When did you start it?
It'll be 10 years this July.
Wow. So you started that. Facebook was not even really a mobile thing. It was really,
pre-smartphone.
Okay. So how did you come up with the idea for the Capitalism Facebook page?
Well, it all started with reading this book called Atlas Shrugged. It was around 2009 and
Ayn Rand, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that book was on the lips of many people that I knew, that I listened to, that I respected. And a lot of people were like, hey, you know, why aren't you reading this? You know, you really should give it a shot. And I'll be honest with you, I am not a good reader.
Yeah, those are long ass books. I'll tell you that.
1,200 pages, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh my God.
And it's small type. They don't tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I
had to read The Fountainhead for high school. I remember that.
That's a very enlightened teacher you had.
Maybe. I don't... yeah.
So The Fountainhead, for those who don't know, is also written by Ayn Rand.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the same author of Atlas Shrugged, and it's which I hate to say, I think I enjoyed more. I did enjoy that more, but reading Atlas Shrugged, or better, or dare I say, listening to Atlas Shrugged was transformative for me. It was something I'd never thought about capitalism that way. I never thought about money that way before. I never thought about voluntary human interactions at all before. And, you know, while all this is going on, Facebook introduces this concept called a fan page, and now it's right. called a like page.
So it used to have groups way back in the day, and they were upgrading at that time. That was around the time when they were kind of expanding to the entire world, essentially, from colleges. So you decided to start this group. And what sort of things do you typically put up there to begin with?
Well, you know, for starters, I didn't really know what to expect, you know, because again, I was actually going from having groups on MySpace to actually having like a page, which is actually different from a group. A group is where the members have more say. A page is where you're really like delivering content, like you're a channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing I saw, believe it or not, was a page devoted to smoked salmon. And I have a weakness for that. And so I'm like, oh, well, let me go like this page. And, you know, next right. thing I see in my feed, it says, try it on a bagel.
Salmon everywhere.
Right? Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, okay, we know about the bagel. I am from New York. But I thought to myself, well, if there's a page for that, is there a page for capitalism? I'd never really thought about capitalism like this before. And I did a little quick search and didn't see anything at the time. And I'm like, well, let me put up a page. And I'm like, well, what kind of content should I put on there? And the only thing I could naturally think was to put on some quotes from Ayn Rand and maybe some articles that I thought might be relevant at the time. And I just kind of went from there. And we grew pretty fast. We grabbed 2,500 people in our first week, which was pretty interesting.
You got an early with a good key term is maybe a good way to put it.
A lot of people tell me that.
Yeah, good real estate. You talk about real estate. I know you're no real estate. If you think of keywords in terms of real estates, you got a really great one.
Yeah, no, I certainly do. I locked in, for those who are wondering. I locked in this site, fb.com or facebook.com/. Capitalist, CAPITALISTS.
All this will be linked on the show notes page.
Yeah. So that's, you know, so that is absolutely real estate. But just so you know, while we were doing pretty well, I very shortly found out that there was a capitalism page ahead of us.
Ah.
And I was much to my chagrin, I you know, he had maybe like 1,000 or more people than us, but they only had one post. All it said was better dead than red. But here
was kind of
right.
That's kind of lame.
And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I got to get past this person. But here's the problem: the more that I would do, the better I would do, the more that this page would do, and they were keeping pace with me.
Oh, so there was like a real competition going on there. So they would start posting.
They wouldn't post anything. They didn't post anything. Here's a concept.
How did they? If you were the one posting, why would anyone like their page?
Because in psychology and advertising, there's a concept called bandwagon.
Okay.
So a thing is not a thing until a lot of people are doing it.
Gotcha.
And that's how it works in advertising. Until everyone's on the bandwagon, no one's on it. So my page creates excitement. It gets a lot of clicks. People click on the capitalism, and then they tell their friends. And then when they type in capitalism, Facebook is going to list both pages. One has more fans than the other. So as excited as they are to be fan of my page, they'll like the other one just in case, because it's got more fans and there's got to be a reason.
That's a really interesting phenomenon from the perspective of me, someone who builds, you know, recommender systems and builds these search results for a living. Mm-hmm. That's like a pretty interesting case study, because it's like, okay, the rich are always getting richer, even if they're not doing any work, rich in terms mm-hmm. of rich in likes, you know?
Yes.
And so that is an interesting problem. Did you eventually get past this guy?
Yep. And here,
or gal, I don't know who it is.
Fair point.
We don't know who it is.
Yeah, we really don't. We don't. But what did happen about a year later, and this is where the heat really starts to happen with Facebook. A little less than a year later, so I started in July. By that March, there was something going on. There was there was a bill going on. It was the original healthcare bill was being proposed, and they were trying to prevent the bill from being proposed in Congress. They were trying to kill it in Congress.
Obamacare back in 2010?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And there was a chant where people were screaming, kill the bill, kill the bill. And I was just like, well, is there a page for this on Facebook yet? And lo and behold, there wasn't. And but just so happens that one of the fans of my own page had reached out to me, this fellow named Caleb Scanson, and he was just like, he said, oh, you know, I created a page. He says, literally a few days before, he was telling me how much he liked my own page.
Right.
And when I went to go search for Kill the Bill, when I said I didn't find any, I did find one. So I found one page for Kill the Bill, and I click on it. And it had like five people on it, but this guy Caleb was all over it. So I messaged him. I said, is that your page? And he said, yeah. He said, you want to be an admin on there? All I wrote back to him was, that was a good move on you.
Yeah. You know? Nice.
He makes me an admin. Right? And
join forces. You probably should have, the other capitalism guy probably should have joined forces with you. You know,
you would
have
think, a singular. Would think. Yeah, no. But at the end of the day,
a united front.
If only, right? If only. But I'll tell you this much, though. The moment that he gave me permission.
There's never a united front in politics.
We'll get into that.
Okay,
God knows.
Great.
but the bottom line is that as soon as he gave me that page, I would start dropping it at like ads onto the capitalism page, and then I shot. You know, in those
with dropping
days,
what kind of ads? Like ads for the other page, ads for the Kill the Bill page.
Yeah,
I see. So you would promote it.
I would use my capitalism page to share it. And then and there was one other advantage that people didn't have and they'll never have again, was at that time they had a thing where you could invite your friends to your page, which they still kind of do, but you could do what, five people at a time?
I think I've invited a lot of my friends to the Local Maximum page. I haven't really been as up to my Facebook page. My Facebook page work has not been as extensive as it should be for the Local Maximum, but I should, or maybe it's just tougher now on Facebook. But
that's the bottom line. Yeah. It's a lot tougher.
But I found better ways to promote the podcast. I still promote it that way, but I should do more than just posting. I have a new episode. You know?
No,
there seems
no.
to be more like discussion needs to happen.
And listen, and again, they want their cut now. And this was the Wild West when you know. I liken Facebook, like you said before, to real estate. And again, I come from commercial real estate, so I understand the process of taking a neighborhood that nobody wants or nobody cares about. And the first thing that people will, the only people that you can hope to come to this neighborhood are homeless people and artists.
Okay.
The artists are the people that see things in a new way. And what happens is the artists get noticed. Maybe the gallery owners come and they want to see where the artist is working. And they look around and they say, you know what, this place isn't as bad as I thought before. Hmm. And before you know it, other people are taking notice. And then the last moment is the developers come in, chase all the artists out, put up beautiful buildings. And that's how the same process with Facebook. You had
Before in Brooklyn. Might have happened once or twice.
There you go. They call it gentrification, right? And you're a part of it. But that being said, the same thing happened. You know, with real estate, you had social media. There was all this real estate, but no one on it. So what do you want to do first? You want to give the creators the ability to publish like they've never published before, to have access to people directly. People would click on capitalism, and they would get it right away in their feed. And now I have people clicking and asking me, people sending me messages all the time saying, where's your content? I can't see it.
So you're still posting, but now it's not coming up on their feed. And they're like,
You know, if a page posts and Facebook doesn't let anyone see it, did you ever really post it? No.
Yeah.
You know, we have over 900,000 followers and nobody can see our posts.
Yeah. So I want to see, I want to try to take the story from where you were in 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. and have the arc to today, because so a lot happened in that time.
Oh, yeah.
You had the the rise of mobile. You had the rise of memes, which I would say maybe 2013, somewhere around there.
It wasn't even that. Memes from day one.
Like,
honestly, I'd say by 2010,
right.
Exclusively memes were the driving force of the page. It really was a powerful, powerful thing. I mean,
so you were saying, like, from the beginning, though, you were able to, like, in those early days, you were able to post something and it would go on everyone's feed and they'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
Like, before Facebook changed.
Yeah, yeah, the algorithm. Every time there was an algorithm change, there was just more and more limitation after limitation. But, but like I said, the way that I made the page work was literally, it was powered by memes. That's how the articles would get pushed. It was the energy of the memes that would push the articles, because Facebook started to learn very early on that people were profiting from the articles being posted. And that was when I knew.
What sort of articles would you post? Like, you would post a meme along with an article, or how would that work?
Yeah, sometimes I would post articles as, you know, I would post articles that were memes. I would literally,
like op-eds or.
Yeah, yeah, it was the weirdest thing. Like, honestly, you can't use it anymore, but there was a Scumbag Stacy meme that would do really, really well. So an article.
Well, there was Scumbag Steve with that weird hat. Was there do I remember a checkerboard hat or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the nice guy with the blunt. What was it?
Yeah, good guy, Greg.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so Scumbag Stacy.
People who are into memes are going to get a lot of nostalgia out of this
especially this one, because they're going to be wondering, where did Scumbag Stacy go?
Yeah, where did all these people go?
Yeah, well, she in particular, she had a cease and desist order that she put out, you know, because at the end of the day, it was her private image.
I understand, but
and yeah, it's no, a shame. I know. And again, they're putting nasty words in her mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so on. You know, we can't all be good guy Gregs.
Yeah.
But that being said,
there are a group of people who have become memes who have like embraced their memehood and have been able to profit off of it.
Oh my god!
Know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, well, I don't know if they profit off it, but like I know. Was the Star Wars kid and
the crazy girlfriend, crazy ex-girlfriend?
Oh, is she a person is she an internet personality?
I've seen her. But the way I'd profit from the memes, it was a real, really interesting thing. Was that the way you post an image onto Facebook?
Yeah,
you know, when I would post an article, you would only get so much of the image. It would have to be a rectangle. They taught us that every image, in order to post properly on Facebook, should be 300 by 600.
Okay, so specific specification.
Yeah, and if you put the image like that, I would have it so you could see the top of the meme, but you couldn't see the bottom, and I'd make you click on that.
I see.
Yeah, which, again, is clickbait. Yes, I know. That is very true. But at the end of the day, an artist needs to get paid. And a lot of people really didn't mind because they wanted to support what we were doing, and I would use that money like a greedy capitalist to actually employ people.
Well, you are on the capitalist page. I'm sure the guy running the socialist page is doing the same thing.
But ah.
It's still, at least for you, it seems a little bit more, you know, expected.
It's a profit.
Yeah. So at what point did you realize you could turn it into a business? I'm sure you wanted to turn it. I'm sure
very early on. Because like I said, it started with putting up quotes from Ayn Rand and then eventually to memes. And then we were adding articles. Like I would go on to... I would find relevant articles that were happening, and in those days I could bit.ly them. There was this site called bit.ly where you could shorten links.
Yeah, I just spoke to their lead data scientist this week. Is the show coming out? Hillary Mason, episode 60.
Oh, I'm going to be staying tuned for that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's because I would really want to ask him, you know, where they went wrong, because it was a very reliable site.
She doesn't work there anymore. She started her own business, did very well, but could have, if I have her on the show again, I could definitely talk about that.
Oh, totally.
System, but it's very, it was a very long time ago.
It was something I really, really relied upon because I could see people clicking on the article. I would shorten the link just so I could track how far it was going. And it was then that I noticed all I had to do was create my own content. Because, again, Facebook makes it impossible for you to profit. But if you make your own website and you control the ads that are going on there, then you can get the profit directly.
So, you were allowed to post ads and profit from it directly?
Not onto Facebook itself, but onto clickable content.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, my first goal was to find someone that could build me a website, which was not easy. But once I was able to do that, I could go on to Google Ads and Google AdSense and get an account and put the ads on there and find some other companies and put those ads on there and then publish content that my fans will click on. And the best part of all is that I would use analytics, Google Analytics, to literally see what the folks are clicking on. No publisher in human history has ever had the ability to see in real time how their articles are affecting people and how successful each topic is.
Yeah, and this worked as a business model for a while, didn't it?
It worked quite gloriously, and it was
good to know,
right? And I was able to employ people, and we were able to expand, but not in, you know, as fast as I really would have wanted to, because not long after,
being able to employ people on this is like you got to understand how many people dream about that. Yeah,
it's living the dream. Yeah. I mean, you know, where I would roll on the floor laughing because I called it my creative ATM. Well, first of all, a lot of people said you'll never make money from this, and that always makes me laugh the hardest. And to all our budding entrepreneurs out there, everyone will tell you no, even your loved ones. If you feel it, you have to keep going because there is no high on earth that could possibly compare to being monetarily successful over something that everyone told you not to do. And it's a beautiful, glorious thing. And to be able to employ people is even more glorious. But at the same time, it's not easy. Your fight is never over. And I was up against a very greedy Facebook and Google. And, you know, I had to be ready for the changes that you're about to hear.
Yeah. Well, actually, before we get into that, because you mentioned Bitly, I was under the impression that Bitly works largely the same way now as it did several years ago. You mentioned that something changed with that.
Yeah, my qualm, I can't even remember what the exact change was, but they made it harder to do what I really wanted it to do, which is really just analyze what you're clicking on.
Data analysis.
Yeah.
Maybe it was when Hillary left.
maybe. All I know is dropping it and being ready to drop it because I needed to do one thing and one thing only. I didn't need to shorten my own links. I had Google Analytics to tell me how I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, what I really needed was to have my own website and do that and get the money directly.
Yeah. Okay. So this went on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start to notice that something was changing with the way Facebook was operating?
Really from day one. I mean, even before I was able to profit from it, just being years into it, we were always losing our reach constantly. I mean, I made the most money off of the page when we had less than 200,000 followers. The more we grew, it seems the less reach we had.
What'd you max out at?
As far as,
you said 200,000. I'm trying to get a sense of scale here.
So 200,000 followers at the time.
And when did you? But you said you made your most at 200,000, but that implies that it was much higher later. You were making less.
Yeah. So the more the page grew, the more algorithm changes we would suffer from. And before you know it, like I said, you know, getting to that point, 900,000, we've never had less reach than now.
So you have a whole lot of followers, but they're not really worth very much.
When
that happened.
No, and really, it's not even about me going through what I'm going through. They're the ones who are suffering. They're the ones who are telling me, "Where is your content?
It's not like you're spamming these people out of the blue. Like they asked for this stuff.
They asked for this, and they can't even get what they want. And I don't know what it is that Facebook's providing at this point. But
and I'm sure you've had people who said, "Well, I don't like this. I'm unfollowing." Fine, but those aren't the people that you're talking about. They probably weren't.
No. And I have to factor those in, you know, all the time, you know.
Yeah.
People are like, unsubscribe me. I'm like, I didn't subscribe you to this. Just click on like.
Yeah. So what do you think was going on at that time? Why was why was your stuff being demoted?
I'm going to tell you right now, and, you know, you could take it for what it's worth, but I really think it really came down to political beliefs. I'm very libertarian, you know. When I say like,
really, I thought you were a communist this whole time. What happened?
Well, you know, and again, you know, I I'll even say, you know, dare I say, you know, like right wing, because a lot of people don't realize what the left and right actually is. You know, people people get confused. And
that's a big topic. Probably do multiple shows on that.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be writing to you angry about this, what I'm about to say. But in order to have a spectrum, you really have to have opposing factors. You know, you have to have opposites on either side. So when someone talks about the political perspective, they'll always say, oh, well, you know, you have Hitler on the right and you have Stalin on the left. And we all aspire to be the centrist in between. And I had to learn.
That's like the common view in academia, you know, history and mainstream historians, that sort of thing.
It's been mainstreamed, let's just say. But I had to, you know, when I went down this rabbit hole, especially after starting the Capitalism page and being discovered by libertarians, I learned about something very different. I learned about anarchy. And anarchy is not like the Antifa that you see kicking over garbage cans and screaming in the streets and, you know, and talking on their iPhones. You know, anarchy means no government, you know, just no opposing powers over you. And I'm not saying it's not without its pratfalls, but it's an opposite to Hitler and Stalin, who represent totalitarianism, which is the antithesis of anarchy. And what we want to do is kind of find a place in between those things.
So tell me, like, why do you was there anything that happened specifically that gave you an indication that Facebook had like a political problem with what you were posting?
Yeah. For starters, it really came down to the types of memes that I've been, you know, sharing and everything like that. More so, in all honesty, like I said, I've always said it's been a political bend, but it really became a lot more after Trump got in. Like, it became clearly obvious. I mean, it was so obvious to the point where we literally, for the first time in the history of the page, we did not grow. And again, they've frozen us. They'll do different things. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard of a shadow ban.
Sure. We've talked about it on this program.
Oh, wonderful. So to repeat, I'll let you explain it again.
Well, why don't you explain? I mean, the way I explain it is being banned without knowing that you're banned. In other words, you still post, but it gets essentially thrown in the garbage.
Exactly. I knew, as your audience can already tell, I'm analyzing everything.
Yeah.
I'm seeing who's looking at it. I'm seeing the numbers. I'm tracking the numbers. So I was being shadowbound, but I knew about it.
Yeah. But did you notice like it was specific memes that were being banned?
Specific memes, specific language. You know, I would go to jail constantly over things
Facebook
that I was
posting.
Facebook jail.
And not real jail.
Right, yeah. And a lot of times it was over
unless there's another story we need
to talk about. Yeah, yeah. And I would always go to jail more during election seasons. And and then more.
That's an interesting coincidence.
Oh, of course. And we would always grow the most. The last, you know, during Trump's election, we grew by 200,000 people in 3 months. And then compare that to the 2018 election where they had us frozen at 911,000 followers for 3.5 months.
So essentially the follower numbers didn't move, and there's something very fishy about that.
It actually ticked down. It ticked down and it was so demoralizing. And if their goal was to get me to post a lot less, they got it. And I did it. And then the most insulting thing of all was that there was no socialism page that could ever touch us. Like, we would always have way more fans, like way, way, way more fans. But then Bernie Sanders came on board.
Sure.
And U.S. Democratic Socialists became a page.
Yeah.
And suddenly they were nipping at my heels. And suddenly when they were very, very close, they were at, say, 3,000.
Okay.
They then froze my page at 911,000 and let that other page get right past me.
So you think, it could be an interesting follow-up to talk to the owners of that page if I knew who they were. But, like, do you think that they essentially never experienced this? Have you had any insight into what their experience was?
I do check their page, and I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them go through frozen moments.
Okay.
So, like, while I was going through a time where I could not gain a follower to save my soul, we were actually losing people somehow.
So it sounds like you have a lot of anecdotal evidence, but it's pretty convincing anecdotal evidence. Is there anything else that?
We have video of me going to Facebook jail and then trying to click on the link saying, you know, there's a link where you can argue you know, like, do you believe that this is a mistake? And click on this. The blink stays blue and it won't turn into a...
Oh, God. Facebook is so annoying with that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you hear... I don't know. I've said this on the program how any... they won't let me advertise my stuff because I mentioned Bitcoin and that's illegal.
Boom.
I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just trying to inform the public. Doesn't matter.
Amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but so. I don't think... It could be deep down. Like, I don't think it's political. I think they're just like, oh, there are too many scams. Let's just ban the whole word. But
it goes to show you what they're capable of.
Right, right.
And how they can, in fact, not just police language, but prevent language.
Yeah.
It's a language prevention system.
Okay, cool. And this started to happen when 2016, 20...
Yeah, I mean, as soon as he got in, I mean, they clobbered. That was when they first... That was the second time they really froze the page. Like, it was just, like, absolutely shut down. And again...
But you also have to see, like, you know, socialism became popular for whatever reason. Don't ask me. At that time as well. So that also contributed. It's not just like their page was like artificially boosted by Facebook. I'm sure there are a lot of real people.
No. What they want is what my page already has, and something they could never stop from happening. My page, because it's a concept.
Yeah.
It has a value that's different from other pages in that people go to it. Whether I post or not, they want to be, you know, a prominent person brings up capitalism on TV and they go, hey, I like capitalism too, and they type it in the browser and they click right to my page. I'm not,
again, good keyword real estate.
Exactly. They're coming to me because I'm the main guy. As soon as I knock that other one out, you know, I use Kill the Bill to drive my advertising, you know, as an advertising vehicle to get past that page. The moment I pass that other page, I wrote Better Dead Than Red. And they never grew again, and they even disappeared.
Yeah. It was probably someone forgot about it.
Yeah. We had to get to 18,000 for me to pass that page.
But it's amazing how much work you had to do to essentially get past an abandoned property.
Yeah, exactly. Because, again, bandwagon. People want to be where the biggest page is. And, again, we're that main page, and we're still that page, and we're still that source. And we have such an organic reach that this other page, you know, if Facebook wanted to, they could fudge the numbers and make that page much larger. But what they're really doing is banking on the fact that really socialism really isn't that popular, no matter how much they try to sell it. And they're letting that page grow organically, but they can't let us look large.
I see.
So they literally put a cap on our growth. And, I mean, the way I always describe Facebook is it's similar. It's very similar to Reddit in that they both have a wall between the user and the owner or the people running it.
So, right, Reddit, as I understand, there are different subreddits, and they're all moderated by individuals who run those subreddits. So in that case, it's a little different, although you can make an analogy between the different...
Yeah, but again, it's no, you know, but think of my capitalism page as a subreddit of Facebook.
You know? Okay, yeah.
So it's the capitalism page for Facebook. But that being said... Just like Reddit and just like Facebook, you got to think about it like as like the Wizard of Oz. You know, oh, the Wizard of Oz, he's so scary. But really what he is just a man behind a curtain. There's all this flash and pizzazz, but it's just a man behind a curtain. Now, the curtain is very different. On Reddit, because Reddit doesn't have the money that Facebook has, Reddit has a curtain that you could actually see. When Reddit censors you, you could actually see the stricken... stuff. You could see what's removed.
Yeah, you could see. So, and in some cases, I don't know if in some cases or all cases, you could actually say view it.
Yeah, still even view it. When Facebook removes something, their wall between the user and the
pretend it never happened.
It's just gone. It's gone. Yeah. And you know, think so. If Reddit has a thin, flimsy, gauzy curtain between the user and the back end, Facebook has a wall that's never going to stop growing in thickness. And density.
did you ever have any situation where you posted something really controversial and they banned it or they told you about it?
All
or
the time.
Tell you about it.
I mean, I mean, it depends on how much traffic the page is getting. If the page is getting a lot of traffic, we go to jail all the time. You know.
Okay.
You know, if it's not getting any traffic, then you know maybe most of the time nothing really will squeak by. You know, we had a lot of traffic. We had a little spike up. Very brief, but between January, the middle of January till just about 2 weeks ago, Facebook gave us a little taste of our old numbers, a very small, small taste. And that was when my own mother, whose post on the page, she ended up going to jail twice. I mean, this is really, you know, it's almost as if someone's sitting on the page and they wait for a certain moment. So like I said, they waited for the socialism page to blow past us.
Yeah.
And they still haven't gone that far past, but they froze our page again. My page right now, as we speak, is stuck at 930,000. No explanation. Doesn't go up.
And you still
down.
Post content, fresh content.
Yeah, I still have people like Independent Sentinel and other folks working on my page. We have a lot of people that give their free time. People are really devoted.
So you have a team of posters, essentially.
I really do, you know, and I still make a profit from the page, but very, very minimal and so small that I literally had to do a new career. I had to start all over again and become a fine artist in the Hamptons.
So it sounds like you figured things out for yourself, but it's interesting to
right. Thank God I have talent to fall back on, and thank God I have savings and a very, very devoted family to help me through the tough times, because, you know, it's not easy. I never thought that I would be like a social media activist and now artist.
It didn't exist.
But, you know, and again, I am complaining about something that is private property. I know I am. I run the capitalism page. But let it be known to everyone that freedom of speech is not welcome here.
Yeah. So, in other words, you don't want them to pretend that they are.
Yeah, and
you feel like they pretend to be an open platform, but in your case, they weren't.
And I want to say, buyer beware. And I know that some listeners will be like, "Well, I'm not buying anything. This is free," but it's not really free. You are the commodity.
Yeah,
and you are being taken advantage of, and you are not. You are prevented from seeing the content that you want to see, that you log in to see, that you subscribe to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk about, I think everyone in the, like, it feels like 90% of the country right now is united in hating Facebook, but they hate Facebook in different reasons, which means Facebook is going to sail right through, I think. But there's...
I wish you were wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's a book now out by Mark Zuckerberg's former advisor, Roger McNamee, and it's called Zucked. You could probably see it in a lot of like Barnes & Noble and stuff. It's got that thumbs down thing, that Facebook thumbs down. Now, I didn't read it, but I did listen to his interview on the James Altucher show recently, and he gives a very different narrative, and I think that's the narrative that most people in tech, most of the CEOs, most of the executives, most of the engineers and product developers have embraced, because a lot of them think the same way. That's an issue. So this is the idea that Facebook is actually responsible for things like Brexit and the election of Donald Trump, which of course they view as a very bad thing. And they'll point to Cambridge Analytica. They'll point to targeted advertising and somehow a bunch of Russians. And what's interesting to me here, like I said, everyone seems to agree there's a problem with Facebook, but their reasons are completely different. And you almost think, well, maybe there could be some common ground, but I'm worried maybe there is no common ground, because the conventional wisdom in tech seems to be that they haven't done enough to stop groups like yours.
Huh.
They need to do more to get rid of those links. Oof. They need to do more to make sure that, you know, Trump isn't elected and all that stuff. So how do you square, and they don't go there directly, but like, how do you square this narrative with your experience? I guess, is there any, I don't know, is there any common ground, or is this just going to be, are these going to be the people who take over Facebook and it gets worse? I don't know.
Yeah, listen, it's only going to get worse. I'm not going to put a rosy color, I'm not going to give you
So have you heard this narrative from other people, first of all? Have you heard?
Yeah, I listen. I hear it all the time.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, in between being called, you know, a racist and a Nazi for being a libertarian, but I
it's a good Jewish Nazi.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's so ironic. And again, the other point I do have to make is, like, I don't just have this page because, you know, I'm devoted to capitalism. I am, but I used to always ask myself, you know, as a person who is a grandchild of Holocaust survivors, you know, what would you have done if it was the 1930s and you were this nervous about the future? Well, what I saw in this page was that I had a bully pulpit. I had a way of saying, you know what, I'm Jewish and please don't round me up. I'm a nice guy and there's more to me than meets the eye, and that's really why I maintain this page, and so it's a lot more important.
We're so lucky that we have only Facebook jail for
but at the same time, you know, when you look at a country like China where they really are monitoring know, your social network can apply to your social points that you get, and you might not go to they might ban you from getting high speed train tickets. They might ban you from buying certain things in stores based on what you post online in China, and what's to stop our own government from doing that to us.
That's crazy. We were talking about how the internet has affected Cuba last week, and it was a very popular episode. I'm still trying to fit. It's like everything's monitored, but they can now do things that they couldn't do before because it's brand new. So,
right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if I have a point there, but it's like, yeah, these countries do monitor, I think we'll remain relatively free in the U.S. We have a lot of systems to like obfuscate what we're doing, but people tend not to care about it. So
I know. Yeah. The only thing that's keeping all this together is the tradition of freedom that we really do have. Not just a tradition, I mean, it's written into the laws, this free speech. And we could always reject Facebook. What happened was is that, you know, you have this whole groupthink, you know, thing happening. And it's not just that, you know, when I first got into capitalism, you know, I learned very early on about, you know, and I'd always heard the term crony capitalism.
Sure.
But it wasn't until I started the capitalism page, and the Facebook page first got shut down the first time by Facebook, and I had these libertarians that were following the page, and they pulled me into their little world, and they taught me about corporatism, which was something totally different from capitalism, and that capitalism was something that was a completely voluntary thing. What you and I are doing right now, even though money has not been exchanged, I swear, between the two of us, this is a voluntary human interaction. That's what capitalism
True.
Is.
Yeah.
No, the moment that violence is brought into the situation, it could even be in the form of collecting taxes. The moment that violence is brought into the situation, that's when it's no longer capitalism, it's no longer freedom. And what you have instead is something called corporatism, where we have large corporations, large multinational corporations writing the laws. They use lobbying to meet the politicians where they drink, at the lobby on K Street.
Yeah.
And they talk to them, and they guide them, and they, like I said, they write the legislation, and these politicians, they're all a bunch of hayseeds. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. They come in with their ideals. Some of them don't have ideals from day one, but they all come in, and they all have a price tag, or they all have skeletons in their closet that can be used, and the whole system is rife, and it's hard to fight against that. And what you have today, the reason why there's so much groupthink,
and this almost seems to be kind of an ideology that a lot in tech have embraced,
yes,
because they're not capitalism, they're not for socialism, they're when I talk about, oh, this is like the general left-wing tech attitude, I'm not talking about Bernie Sanders, I'm talking about I've been having trouble describing like what the sort of, I don't know, the seemingly unanimity in tech is. I know it's not completely unanimous, but it seems like you're hitting close to that.
Yeah,
that was a very winding
discussion. But this is a winding situation. It's hard. It's almost it's purposely impossible to wrap your mind around.
I do know Mussolini called his ideology corporatism as well. I would say the difference is in his, like, nominally the state was in the front seat versus here, like, you'd say the corporation's on the front seat, but could have some of the same effects economically.
It has the exact same effects economically. And again, make no mistake, the corporations make it abundantly clear. They let the politicians think that they are in charge, and that's the best part. And the politicians believe that they're in charge because of their new gold Rolex and that hooker that was paid for last night. Not by them.
What? Politicians doing that? Come on.
but this is what, you know, what we're up against. You know, I'll never forget. People are like, oh, you know, Zuckerberg's finally going to Congress, man. They're going to really wave their finger at him.
Yeah. We covered that episode 10, localmaxradio.com/10.
Yeah. And I don't know if you caught the end of it, but after he was being grilled, and I say that with quotes, after he was being grilled, they were taking photos with him.
Yeah.
You know, they were taking selfies.
I'm going to take a picture with Mark Zuckerberg. I'm going to send it to my grandchildren.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. You know, to me, when you are a corporatist and you are called before Congress over some snafu your company did, that's when you're made. It's like being a rapper and getting shot or going to jail.
That's interesting.
That's street cred. So in the billionaire realm, in the corporatist billionaire realm, you know, being called before Congress means you finally arrived. And not just that, the people who will be scrutinizing you, you're going to get to know them on a first name basis. You'll get to know their likes and their dislikes, their weaknesses.
Yeah.
And you can exploit them thusly. And that's why we can't have nice things.
Someone like Google or Facebook can exploit them a lot better than the other way around.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially when the caviar and champagne starts to flow and these people don't know a damn thing about it.
Yeah. All right. Michael, I will give you the last word to say anything you want to wrap this up and anywhere people can go find you. Everything, all the links that you mention or send me later will go on the show notes page at localmaxradio.com/61. Any last thoughts?
Yeah. My last thoughts is, you know, the fight is never gone. You know, I was just, you know, I finally got to do a small, you know, I have a brief cliff on Fox News, and a lot of people are starting to take notice again. So,
okay,
but it will be out shortly. Yeah. And we appreciate that.
Right.
But in the meantime, you know, I've discovered art and I love doing art. So if you're ever online, bronspiegel.com, bronspiegel.com. That's where I'm doing fine art. And
I'm looking around. Some of your stuff is pretty cool, by the way. I should add that.
Thank you kindly. I'm glad you appreciate it. It's something, you know, as my company was being dismantled by Zuckerberg, I was, you know, living out on the beach in the Hamptons. I have an amazing cousin who, you know, gave me his beach house to stay in, and I was able to get through all the heartache and put all my excitement of just being in the sun into my paintings and find a new way of expressing myself that didn't require technology or at least not the kind of technology that could be controlled by thought police or well-paid thought police. And that's really my point.
All right. Sounds good. That'll all go on the show notes page. Michael Bronspiegel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you kindly. Be well.
Also, don't forget, Michael's capitalism webpage is capitalismisfreedom.org, and the show notes are going to be at localmaxradio.com/61. I often get a lot of feedback on these. You know, did I push back too hard enough? Did I not push back enough? Now that you've done the interview, what's your view of X? So happy to accept your feedback, localmaxradio@gmail.com. And if you want me to answer a question, you know, and let me know if you do, if you want me to answer your question actually, you know, on a future show, then I will consider doing that. You know what? I will do that unless the question is, well, within reason. Okay, that's a good one to go, within reason. So, no, I think there's going to be a lot of response, and I look forward to it. Have a great week, everyone. That's the show. Remember to check out the website at localmaxradio.com. If you want to contact me, the host, or ask a question that I can answer on the show, send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. This show is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and more. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe to The Local Maximum on one of these platforms and to follow my Twitter account, @MaxSklar. Have a great week.
Feel the power.
And she said, I don't care what you say, you're gonna see me shine.